The Natural Nurse with Ellen Kamai and Dr. Z, Mondays at 1 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse. And today, right here on the Gary Null Network, on the show The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, you will listen to both myself and our other co-host. Hi, Dr. Z.
Hey, good to hear from you, Dr. Kamai.
So we have Dr. Zamperone here as well today. He is a naturopathic physician, as well as being a professional herbalist with the American Herbalist Guild. And among other things, besides being my wonderful partner, Dr. Zamperone is a leader in the field of rheumatology and immune system function. And I'd like to tell you, listeners, that we have authored many books together, and we're going to focus today on information about inflammation. And this is in our book called Arthritis, the Alternative Medicine Definitive Guide. You can easily find that book listed right on Amazon.com or at any bookstore. And also, we have joined together and formulated powerful herbal remedies, and they are called the Arthro Wellness Kit. And the kit includes some very powerful natural therapies, including phytodyne and amphoteric. Now, these may be strange words for you, but you're going to know what they mean scientifically by the end of our show today. The formulas are designed to work synergistically, which means together, to support healthy cartilage integrity, optimize cartilage matrix composition, and support the maintenance and natural repair processes of connected tissue. And today, Dr. Zamperone and I are going to discuss in detail the individual botanical medicines, which are herbs, that are in the formulations, such as hops, sarsaparilla, Romania, corydalis, Jamaican dogwood, and more. And Dr. Zamperone, we're going to go into the science involved with their mechanisms of action, because many times they are known, and how they actually can help individuals who are challenged by inflammation and pain. So I think it was a very, very exciting project putting these things together, Dr. Z.
Absolutely. You know, when we start looking at inflammation in its myriad functions, we find that we could work, what I like to say, upstream or downstream using that kind of analogy. So I'll give you an example. Working downstream would be sort of like where allopathic medicine used to be, although they are working upstream now with some of the newer arthritis drugs, but we'll talk about those in a second. But, you know, working downstream would be like to take aspirin or non-steroidal anti-inflammatories and things like that to regulate your inflammation. By that, I mean you're taking these things which will steer the prostaglandins and leukotrienes. These are inflammatory chemicals that we make in our bodies that tend to then manifest in various the body taking various actions, like recruiting white blood cells into an area to get out foreigners or to cause permeability so that the white blood cells can go through a cell in their Mac attack or Pac-Man attack, if you can use the analogy of the old game Pac-Man. And certainly we have also the production of these various chemical messengers, which act like a trail for these white blood cells so that they can kind of go to the various areas and alert the body that there's a problem. Now, recently we found that, you know, with the advent of some of these interesting medications that are out there now, these are called biological response modifiers, which we'll get into a little later, that these actually have come about due to understanding some of the intercellular and internuclear components of the whole inflammatory cascade. In other words, they've been able to get deep, deep within the cell and understand a lot of these communication molecules. They call these kinases, and I hope we talk a lot more about these kinases.
Well, before we do, Dr. Zamperone, let's go into a little bit more of an explanation about what a kinase is, because most people have heard the word inflammation, and of course kinases are linked to inflammation in the body, so let's talk about them a little bit more. So like somebody just listening to this for the first time and never heard that word before would understand what it might be.
Well, these are tactile factors. They're chemicals that activate the white blood cells. Well, those are cytokines, actually. Kinases are intracellular little chemicals, proteins, that cause a domino effect reaction inside the cell. And then what they do is they tell the nucleus of the cell to make proteins. Many of these proteins are very important for regulation of all cellular functions, making various proteins like muscle and repair proteins, RNA and DNA. But some of the proteins that they make are involved in the immune system. Some of them are involved in cancer regulation. That's why there's a huge pharmaceutical movement to find out a lot about these kinases and find out which ones tend to tell the cell to become sort of a cancer cell or not. But as far as arthritis and pain is concerned, there are certain of these kinases that, when turned on, produce lots of these activation chemicals, which they call chemotactic factors, which activate the white blood cells to begin attacking, digesting, and doing their thing, basically, which is very needed, of course, as part of our immune system. It's just that when healthy cells that surround an inflammatory response get also damaged, I guess you could call those collateral damage, that's when there's an issue, particularly with these rheumatic diseases. So it's like the healthy tissue gets under attack, as well as the not-so-healthy tissue or pathogens or other factors. So that's a little bit about the kinase.
Well, see, here is what you're explaining, just as a recap. And most people would be familiar with the word autoimmune disease. So what you're explaining is some of the events that initiate the body's immune system getting confused and actually attacking our own tissues instead of just invading organisms things that shouldn't be there.
There's a lot of reasons why the body may be confused. They don't really know exactly 100% why that happens. There's many theories. Some of them are like some of the B cells, which are parts of your white blood cells. They can become abnormal just through chronic activation of the immune system, just having these chronic triggers, things like allergies, things like having a chronic bacterial infection in your root canal or in your cavitation, or having a chronic response. It's almost like having a splinter in your finger, for instance, and your immune system is continuously attacking this splinter, trying to remove this foreign agent. And it gets to the point where the immune system gets very hostile against that and produces things like rheumatoid factor and really upregulates the immune function to the point where even your own native DNA, which is, you know, a very important molecule, gets damaged. And when that DNA can get damaged, that's when it becomes like they call it an alien protein, something that looks kind of like you but doesn't really look like you anymore, because You know, it's so funny. It's like I use the analogy in a class. It's like taking something out of a box that originally was folded up neatly, like an air mattress. I was getting an air mattress for an upcoming Jamaica trip, Dr. Kamai, and good luck trying to get this thing back in the box.
That's a great analogy. And also, you know, a lot of people have been calling who want to join on our Jamaica trip.
Oh, okay.
So we can take a moment here just to throw that out to our listeners. Now, I sent you some people recently, so hopefully you got those. We got two or three calls and emails that I had forwarded to you. So hopefully you get back to those people because they really wanted to join in with the trip. And if any of our listeners want to, we regularly do what's called Echo Tours for Cures. And on Echo Tours for Cures, we take people right into the indigenous areas and also in Chinatown in New York, where we study a lot of these herbal medicines that we use in our formulas. So it's so amazing to learn about them firsthand. And, you know, in particular, the phytodyne and the amphoteric have a lot of herbal medicine that have been used in indigenous cultures for thousands of years.
Yeah, absolutely. So when that DNA gets damaged and can't get refolded again, it sticks out like a sore thumb, basically, and then our body, unfortunately, attacks it, which is kind of the genesis of many of these autoimmune diseases. Now, thankfully, there are a myriad of botanicals that deal with the many facets of the inflammatory reaction. So we have the prostaglandins that are part and the leukotrienes. Those are chemicals that are involved in the inflammatory reaction. We have something called kynins. These are also very inflammatory chemicals that are involved in inflammation too. Of course, we have the cytokines involved in inflammation. Substance P is a chemical in our body that when liberated creates painful nerve messages. So we need to quench substance P. So the idea is, you know, can we find different botanicals that interfere or balance these various inflammatory pathways? And many of these things that we've looked at have been used for many, many millennia by cultures for inflammatory illness. What we did is put together the top ones from many different cultures into the various supplements that we're discussing there.
Well, let's talk about one of these in particular right now. And I would love to talk first about phytodyne.
Okay.
Now, this is not something people can just go out and purchase, but they can get in touch with us at the end of the show. And, you know, we can give them more information about that. But let's talk about some of the individual things, because what's so great about this formula, which has white willow bark, bromelain, boswellia, corydalis, ginger, Jamaican dogwood, there we get in Jamaica, turmeric extract, skullcap. What's so fabulous about that formula is not only someone with an autoimmune disease could find this useful, but basically this is like a totally natural aspirin or totally natural Advil that does not destroy your liver. So I think that's very exciting.
Yeah, again, inflammation is involved in tremendous amount of illnesses. It's involved in everything from allergies to asthma to cancer and diabetes. Inflammation is extremely important thing to modulate, and botanicals like this are very helpful for doing that and can be used without the myriad side effects that the many medications have. For instance, like the use of willow dates back thousands of years, even to probably before Hippocrates, when patients were advised to chew on the bark of the white willow tree to reduce fever and inflammation. White, purple, and black willow, which is Salix alba, purpurea, and nigra, as well as even poplar and birch families, contain these particular chemicals called glycosides, particularly the glycoside salicin. They also contain various esters, salicortin, fragulin, and other ones that are actually converted into salicylates, similar products that are found in aspirin in the digestive tract. However, white willow bark doesn't cause the GI bleeding and the cardiovascular issues, according to the research, as does aspirin.
Isn't that amazing, Dr. Z? Mm-hmm. It's like maybe God knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, it has the actives like aspirin, salicylic acid, and yet it has protective agents so it doesn't punch a hole through your stomach.
Absolutely, and that's been looked at in various clinical trials. There's a lot of trials on white willow bark for many different types of pain, and certainly it's not something that works right away, but because your body has to convert it into the active ingredients, but if used regularly over time, you'll build up bioactive levels of these compounds enough to quell the inflammatory cascades in the body. So, and you know, there's some research that maybe people that have not so good of a bowel flora have maybe some trouble taking the active ingredients of the willow and making them into the active salicylate. So that's where cleaning the bowels out and restoring normal bowel population of bacteria with probiotics may prove to be very beneficial. We know that's very important in autoimmune disease and allergies and things like that, but maybe even in just regular old pain. So, yeah,
well,
white willow bark is an incredible plant.
It really is. And, of course, another thing is if someone is seeing their natural health care practitioner, or even if they are doing some self-therapy, a very, very good thing to use is to take extra probiotics such as Acidophilus and Bifidus, and then you're going to get a better response in terms of the anti-inflammatory nature of white willow bark.
Absolutely.
And then let's go on to some of the other great things that are in the Phytodyne formula.
Well, one of my favorites is sort of one of my favorite fruits too, which is pineapple. And pineapple contains a proteolytic, that means breakdown protein, enzyme from both the stems and fruits of pineapple known as bromelain. And bromelain has been shown in many human trials to quench the pro-inflammatory compounds found in inflammatory diseases, including arthritis and general pain, as well as even injury. Bromelain helps break down fibrin. Fibrin is this chemical in our body which goes to the inflamed area, and it actually clots, forms a clot, and blocks off the blood and the lymph to a particular area that's either injured or inflamed. And, you know, when you don't have good blood flow, you aren't getting rid of waste products and then refeeding, reperfusing the area with good, healthy blood filled with nutrients. So when you take the bromelain, it interferes with this cascade reaction, making the fibrin, and thus thins the blood enough so that, you know, the Chinese say, they call pain something called BI syndrome, and one of the main causes of B syndrome was the blockage of qi and blood to an area. So they said if the qi and blood were blocked, you had pain. Well, bromelain is great to unblock these things. The anti-inflammatory effects stop the or slow down the migration of the white blood cells into the area, and also helps with the inflammatory cascade, reducing the inflammatory cascade. Now, you have to take bromelain. One very important caveat is you'd have to take it on an empty stomach to have these anti-inflammatory effects. If you take it with food, it's not going to hurt you, but it's going to act as a digestive enzyme because, of course, bromelain is a powerful digestive aid. So for consistent therapeutic value for using it for pain and inflammation, you want to use it on an empty stomach. And it can cause sensitivity in some people who are sensitive to pineapple. There are some people that are sensitive to pineapple, but that's generally few and far between.
Well, let's put it this way, Dr. Z. Even with natural things like Phytodyne, which is such a fabulous, totally natural painkiller, we can never say that every single ingredient in there is totally safe for every single person. We can say the vast majority of natural remedies have a much, much better adverse event profile than do prescription drugs. But there's always room for sensitivity. Some people get really sick if they eat a peanut or smell peanuts, while other people have peanut butter sandwiches every day. So we're talking in general.
Exactly.
But really, with a lot of research, obviously, if people are hearing that you are looking at the research, both of the safety and efficacy, as well as the sometimes thousands of years traditional use of the individual items that are in Phytodyne.
And speaking of thousands of years, Boswellia is another one of my favorite remedies from antiquity that's found a utilization in modern era. This botanical is derived from the gum, which comes from the Indian tree Boswellia serrata, otherwise known as frankincense. And, you know, we see reference to frankincense in the Bible, and it's been used for centuries by physicians all around that whole North African, Middle Eastern, Mediterranean area where the tree is endemic for centuries for arthritic conditions. Again, like I talked about, the Chinese and Ayurvedic from India believe that when the blood becomes stuck or static or sluggish, you get pain and you cannot get rid of the inflammation. So by invigorating and promoting the circulation of blood and qi, this Boswellia in ancient times was revered for arthritis. Of course, modern research also documents its ability to block these inflammatory compounds, which lead to a heightened pain response. They found compounds called boswellic acid, various types of boswellic acid, which actually block leukotriene synthesis. So that's one of those pro-inflammatory chemicals that we see in many types of arthritis. Also, it's also an important to note that in asthma, in the old days, they used to call leukotrienes slow-releasing substances of anaphylaxis. That's because the leukotrienes are the principal inflammatory compounds that are released in the asthmatic attack. So Boswellia, of course, can be used for, and Phytodyne, for that matter, can be used for patients with asthma, assuming they're, you know, okay with the pineapple and all the things that we talked about. Other compounds that they found kind of fatty and steroidal-like properties, these triterpenoid compounds that are found in the Boswellia. And they found that it decreases the pro-inflammatory molecules in articular cartilage and also prevents the degeneration of the cartilage in osteoarthritis. So certainly there's been a lot of clinical studies on that. In one study, they gave boswellic acid to patients with osteoarthritis for 6 months, and then they actually measured their blood for these inflammatory markers that we do in medicine to keep track of how people are doing with their arthritis. Things like, there's something called the SED rate, which is the amount of inflammation in the body, the C-reactive protein. And the Boswellia did much better than the dummy pill, the placebo pill. So Boswellia is something that is safe, effective. It's been used for a long time. And you go to Chinatown on one of our trips and look at any of the both oral and even topical formulas for bruising, kung fu injuries, martial arts injuries, which, you know, I get a lot of.
I was going to say, Dr. Z,
no,
I
do. I use a lot of
on your own, too much, actually.
I have been doing a lot of these things, Dr. Kamai, absolutely. Now, the next one that's fascinating is, you know, ties in again with our trip to Jamaica, which is called Jamaican dogwood, Pisidia. Jamaican dogwood, interestingly enough, was used by the eclectic doctors. The eclectic physicians were doctors, medical doctors, who used herbal medicine and other medicines at the turn of the 19th century.
They were actually considered mainstream doctors in their day.
Yes, absolutely. And they wrote vast materia medicas, which we still have access to. And one of them, Dr. Ellingwood, wrote extensively about this fabulous plant that was brought back from Jamaica, from the West Indies, known as Jamaican dogwood. And he said, in quote, actually found it in his old writings, that this was the best remedy for pain when the patient could not tolerate morphine or opium, but was in a tremendous amount of pain due to their bones being broken, their ligaments being torn, sprains, strains, migraines, bad PMS or dysmenorrhea and neuralgia. Now, it turns out that when I did my travels down to Jamaica to study with the bush doctors and healers, they also concurred that Jamaican dogwood was one of the best remedies for that. And I think actually on one of our websites, the link to our Jamaican trip, you can actually see a couple pictures of Jamaican dogwood on there. There's a link that says herbs seen in Jamaica. It just kind of looks like a tree to anyone who's not really, you know, sort of interested in botany. But boy, is it very powerful. So what people would do is take this Jamaican dogwood as a preventative for fibromyalgia, joint pain, and other types of arthritides, and it would help them deal with this pain.
Well, talk about that interesting use about when they go fishing with the Jamaican dogwood bark, Dr. Z.
Well, they used to do that. They don't do it anymore because the people downstream get mad because they used to maroon people. The original Afro descendants of African people that lived in Jamaica up in the highlands, what they would do is they would dam up the stream with some stones so that there was a little part of the stream that was slow, and then they would take the Jamaican dogwood and crush it and put it in the water. And this would stupefy the fish so that they would become so slow and possibly float to the surface so that the maroons are easily able to get them with the spears and then eat them, because the compounds in Jamaican dogwoods are safe for human consumption, but not for fish.
That's just great. How funny. What an interesting story. So, Dr. Z, we're going to just take a couple-minute break here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We're bringing this to you on Gary Knowles Network, Progressive Radio Network, and we are so happy to be a part of Progressive Radio Network. And one of the great things about it is today's show will be archived for your listening and download pleasure anytime, day or night. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
Listening to Progressive Radio Network.
Hi, this is Adam Kolker from the Brooklyn Jazz Underground. We're going to be hosting a weekly show every Tuesday at 5 p.m., focusing on sounds coming from the borough of Brooklyn. We'll be playing some new releases, doing live interviews, some live performances, maybe even venture out into music from some of the outer boroughs. Brooklyn Jazz Underground, Tuesday at 5, only on the Progressive Radio Network.
Hello. Check out my show, The Animal Magnet Pet Radio, live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern on Progressive Radio Network. or catch it anytime you like by scrolling through the archives. You'll hear me, Deborah Wolf, best-selling author and award-winning radio host, chatting with the best pet experts and animal A-listers in the world about controversial topics like breed bans, the indoor versus outdoor cat debate, and whatever else is hot in the news and on their minds that matters to animals and the people who love them. Plus, we tell pet jokes, we'll give you trivia and smart, quirky facts, recipes, and take-home tricks and tests, homework your pets will love. Email your pet problems to me, and we'll solve them on air. So listen to The Animal Magnet on Progressive Radio Network and get your animal fix.
Hi, I'm Eric Davis, host of Expanding Mind. Join me and co-host Maja Daou each week as we explore the culture of consciousness, spirituality, neuroscience, media tech, and all manner of wonders and esoterica. Expanding Mind streams every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network. Keep your mind open.
Hi, this is Karen Hartglass, host of It's All About Food on the Progressive Radio Network. Please join me every Wednesday at 3 p.m. when we talk about the power of the fork, how our food choices affect our health, the environment, and the treatment of animals. Learn how a plant-based diet of fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, nuts, and seeds is not only delicious, but gentle on the planet.
Listening to a progressive moment on the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome back once again to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Thank you so much for listening in. And we get so much feedback from our listeners. We're really happy to get your emails. You can go to Facebook, The Natural Nurse. You can go to www.naturalnurse.com. You can go to Dr. Z, that's D-R-Z, naturally.com. And all kinds of ways to get in touch. Of course, all of our shows are archived right here at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com, Gary Knowles Network. And there are many other wonderful, interesting shows and hosts that you can listen to basically day or night, anywhere in the country. So exciting the way technology is actually taking away our dependence on time and space, but that's a topic for another day. Today, those of you who listen to us often know that very often I host the show or Dr. Zamperone hosts the show, but today we're having a little bit different presentation where we're both here, and actually Dr. Zamperone is the one giving us the information, and we wrote many books together. One of the books we wrote together is called Arthritis, the Alternative Medicine Guide, which is a top bestseller, and which I truly believe is your best source for information about how to get away from inflammation. In that book, we have everything from a full testing chapter. Dr. Zamperone mentioned earlier things like sedimentary rate, all kinds of both regular conventional blood work and more holistic kinds of blood work are explained in depth. You can share that with your doctor, and also you can see where you can get those kinds of test done. We also have a full and complete section on detoxification, how to use juice therapy, massage therapy, exercise, and a huge recipe section with recipes for foods that are actually proven scientifically to decrease inflammation as well as being easy to prepare and delicious by our own expert chef, Amani Harris. So it's still the best book on the market in terms of arthritis by far, and I suggest you check into it, Arthritis, the Alternative Medicine Guide. Dr. Z and I have also collaborated with all the knowledge that we've been working with for so many years, putting together something to make all these herbs available for people who want to use them, and that is the Arthro Wellness Kit. Today we're talking about a couple of things that would help, including Phytodyne, which we're going over the individual herbs in. It's like a natural painkiller, and that's one of the things that is so useful for those people who need to take painkillers. And also amphoteric, which is another combination that really helps to support the body, particularly with people suffering with autoimmune issues. So Dr. Z, in your many years as a specialist in rheumatology, you have actually used these herbs with great effect. And one I don't want to leave today without mentioning is Corydalis, which is part of the Phytodyne formula.
Yes, Corydalis is just an incredible medicine. I stumbled upon it many years ago in my readings and studying traditional Chinese medicine at Bastyr University, and found out that this member of the poppy family has been used for thousands of years for its powerful analgesic properties. This plant, or it's called Yan Hu Su, to those who speak Chinese out there. And they've discovered these alkaloids, including something that's called tetrahydropalmitine and Corydalis L. And these have been shown to be as about 10% as powerful as morphine for the treatment of many types of pain. But the great news is that it's non-addictive and doesn't even work through the morphine opioid receptors. It works with other receptors like dopamine, but nonetheless the pain relief that patients get from using Corydalis is phenomenal. There's been many human clinical trials that we talk about in our books and in our articles and whatnot, and the Phytodyne has a good dose of organic Corydalis. So it's a fabulous thing that we could do, that we could use on a regular basis for pain. It even helps with kind of relaxing the muscles a little bit too, because you know sometimes people when they're in pain, you know, they get more uptight, and then of course the agita and anxiety of being in pain creates more pain and more tightness of the muscles, and it's kind of a vicious cycle like that, Dr. Kamai. So Corydalis is certainly one not to miss.
Yeah, I enjoy using it, and I think that that is one, unlike, like you said, with white willow bark, sometimes you have to use it for a long period of time to start to really experience that anti-inflammatory effect.
Mm-hmm.
Corydalis seems to work very quickly.
Right, quickly, just like Jamaican dogwood. The moment you take it, the moment it gets in your bloodstream, you're already feeling relaxed and more and less pain and inflammation.
Now, turmeric has really, we've been using it in our practice. You know, I've been doing this medicine, I hate to tell you folks, since 1964. Yes, that's with a six. 64. And even then, we were using turmeric. But now, turmeric has actually been coming to the forefront in terms of modern scientific research.
Oh, there's so much on turmeric. We could do a whole show on that, which maybe we should do at some point. But nonetheless, turmeric has been shown to be, you know, it's a yellow spice that we use in preparing curry and many types of mustard things. It has powerful anti-inflammatory properties credited to the chemical component curcumin, but other chemicals in it as well, which is fat soluble. And research suggests that turmeric goes into the cell and again communicates with these kinases and transcription factors, the main one being what's called NF-kappa-beta. NF-kappa-beta is the transcription factor that goes into the DNA and begins and tells the DNA to make these pro-inflammatory chemicals. So this is where we can actually tell the DNA not to do this as much. I mean, to make some, you need some of these things. See, that's the danger with using some of the allopathic medications. Some of the drugs that they've developed that block this particular transcription factor, NF-kappa-beta, they completely block it. So now your immune system doesn't work, Dr. Kamai. So it's analogous to every time you want to close the light switch in your room, you have to run to the garage and shut the power off to the whole house. You don't want to shut the power off to your whole immune system just to get out of pain with arthritis. You just want to gently communicate the message, balance to the body. And that's where the word amphoteric comes from. It's communicating to the body to be an amphoteric. Amphoteric means something that balances the body's response to pain, not have an overzealous response to pain and inflammation like we see in many types of arthritis, but to have a normal response to pain.
So
and
there's
that's
many
where we
diseases
got that,
that
name
have
from.
That. Dr. Z, many illnesses have that overzealous autoimmune response, not only arthritis, although rheumatoid arthritis is certainly one of those, and then lupus is one.
Yes.
Like you brought up earlier, asthma, and even less, you know, people who have bad allergies.
Yes.
Are often having that autoimmune response. So this is not a limited reaction. There
right.
are many people who have that kind of thing. And that's where it's good to know about amphoteric. Amphoteric is, again, very healthy to support just overall immune response, a healthy immune response. And it contains, again, an array of really well-researched and well-balanced herbs, including hops, artemisia, smilax, reishi mushroom, ashwagandha, one of my favorite, nettle leaf, romania, skullcap, and beta-glucans. So let's talk about some of those.
Yeah.
These are all found
Boy,
in amphoteric.
You know, what's interesting, I love this. I like them all these herbs, fascinating.
That's why they're in our formula, Dr. Z.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The Chinese skullcap, otherwise known as hong qi, I want to talk about it because it's interesting. That's the only herb that's in both formulas, by the way, that's both in the phytodyne and amphoteric that we love so much, because the Chinese skullcap, which they call scoot, is one of the most widely used herbs in Oriental medicine, having just a vast array of therapeutic effects, anti-inflammatory, anti-cancer, antiviral, balancing effect on the immune response. It has all these various compounds, including flavonoids, which again, display an anti-inflammatory effect by decreasing the expression of, for instance, nitric oxide, which is both a boon and a bane. We need nitric oxide to expand our blood vessels and to do other things in our body, but too much actually acts as a free radical. Also, it seems to get into the cell and, again, talk to those inflammatory cytokines to reduce them, like various kappa betas, not only the NF kappa beta, but other ones is that. The bottom line is you produce less what's called tumor necrosis factor alpha, and that's kind of like the quote unquote bad boy, although it's not really a bad boy. I mean, nothing in our body is really bad. It's just that it's just overzealous. It's just out of balance. We need some tumor necrosis factor to keep us free from cancer. We can't totally block it like the drugs do, things like Enabril and Remicade and these Humira.
What
these
about
types
methyltrexate?
Of things. And methyltrexate, the old-fashioned drugs like that, exactly. Gold injections and all those things are used to block these things. So, nonetheless, and there's many double-blind studies on scutellaria for both osteoarthritis and rheumatoid arthritis, and they also found that when they mix other flavonoids with the like the flavonoids found in green tea, for instance, with the skullcap, you get as effective control as naproxen in controlling the signs and symptoms of arthritis, but you get none of the negative side effect of skullcap. It's amazing, and we have an excellent source of skullcap in the formula. So skullcap, or otherwise known as Chinese skullcap, Hongqin, is a very powerful plant that we use in the formulas. other ones that we need to talk about are hops. Hops is tops, as far as I'm concerned, because hops was looked at by one of the most revered experts in natural medicine and a guy that I put up on a pedestal. And as you know, there's not a lot of people that are top-notch researchers. I mean, there's many people that are top-notch researchers in the field. But when I see all the other people flock to go to this guy's lectures, I know that he's saying something. And that, of course, is Dr. Jeffrey Bland, of course. And I honor him because he's a great teacher, and I always come out of his seminars learning so much. But one thing that Dr. Bland looked at is what was the most effective herb to, again, communicate to these various kinases. In particular, a kinase that's called SY kinase and another one that's called P13 kinase. These two kinases, or again, intracellular communication proteins, are in almost every inflammatory cascade involving arthritis, particularly. And what he did is he looked at over 200 different herbs, looking at the most effective ones for modulating, not again turning them off completely, because when we turn off the body and boss it around, we think we're smarter than the body. And that's a bad thing. The body is the doctor. The body has this ancient wisdom. But what Dr. Bland did is he found that hops had the most effect on these particular kinases.
So all those people who drink beer know what they're doing, then, Dr. Z.
Well, unfortunately, beer's got a lot of other problems with it, but certainly the hops is one of those things that we think can reduce autoaggressive disease and reduce states of aggressive cytokine imbalance, as we say in many of our articles, balancing the immune system. Another one that seems to be very important is the stinging nettle. And I love stinging nettles because nettle comes from the Anglo-Saxon word nettil, which means needle. It refers to the tiny needle-like hairs in this plant.
Boy, if anyone ever collects it themselves like I do out in the wild, you sure know why it's called stinging.
Absolutely, because, you know, those hairs are coated with formic acid, histamine, serotonin, and when you touch them, you definitely get a rash. Now, people would actually use nettles topically and internally for arthritis. Topically, they would actually rub the stingers, or actually flagellate themselves, beat themselves like a whip over the painful joint, and it would actually cause an analgesia over time, and that has to do with, you know, depleting all these painful substances. But when used internally, it's also been, we also see, copying this ancient practice with astonishing success. We've actually used nettles quite a bit in my office here and find that you get a lot of pain relief even after using it for 1 week. 1 week versus a placebo. Fabulous anti-inflammatory effects. And you don't have to, you know, sting yourself like the old timers did. Nettle leaf alters the genetic transcription of the NF kappa beta, like I talked about, particularly when they measured it in the joint tissue. They've also found that it teaches your immune system to not attack your tissue thinking that it's foreign, but to instead treat your body with respect, which is a very important thing with the autoimmune disease, Dr. Kamai, when we have this mistake. Now, the leaf of the nettle is what is used for arthritis. The root of the nettle is usually used for prostate issues. Ours has the leaf. The Amphitheri form has the leaf, but not the root. So it's a very interesting plant. Other one that I wanted to touch base on is, again, from the jungles of Jamaica, which is called Sar sarsaparilla, otherwise known as smilax. And smilax grows throughout the world because there's a type of smilax that actually grows in Connecticut here where I am. But the main ones are found throughout the Caribbean, South America, Mexico, and Central America. And these are particularly useful for illnesses caused by stealth pathogens. Now, in many types of arthritis, there's probably some type of infectious organism that evades the doctor's culturing techniques and other lab technology, but it's still there, and it keeps instigating the body to attack. The one great thing about the sarsaparilla is it gets to kill off these stealth pathogens. You know, Lyme is a classic example. Lyme can exist in many different forms, cystic forms, stealth forms, cell wall deficient forms, biofilms, and other forms. And the sarsaparilla helps the body discern this Lyme disease and helps it. But there's other diseases too. Diseases from having bad root canals, from having something that's called P. gingivalis, I believe, is the name of the bacteria. These are stealth pathogens that can cause problems in the body. Again, sarsaparilla does the same thing. It inhibits or modulates the tumor necrosis factor and the NF-kappa beta, plus you have the ability of it to kill the pathogens. Now, no discussion of treating autoimmune disease would be complete without talking about my favorite one here, which is called Romania. Romania is a popular Chinese root. Many people don't know about this plant, but it's shown promise in bringing balance to aggressive autoimmune states. It's known as Shu Ti Huang, and it's the most effective plant in China to help the blood and the adrenal glands. And, you know, in Chinese medicine, when the adrenal glands go low, or what they call the kidney goes low, you can't make your own body's anti-inflammatory compounds. You have to rely on prednisone and other types of steroids to get you out of trouble. But when patients start taking this particular plant, Romania, they find that it has a healthy immunosuppressive effect without entirely inhibiting the healthy actions of the immune system. So it has it's similar to these disease-modifying anti-rheumatic drugs. It also cools the blood. Many times patients with arthritis have night fevers, for instance, if they have rheumatoid arthritis. And by the way, this is also a beneficial plant for women going through menopause, because it cools inflammation. It also purifies the blood and decreases sweating due to its anti-inflammatory activity. This one's a very safe plant used in China for many things, even in women's precious pills and Romania 6 and 8 formula. These have been around in the traditional Chinese pharmacopoeia for literally thousands of years, Dr. Kamai.
Well, Dr. Z, that was an incredible amount of information. I mean, you just went right through that, and that's probably enough details for about four shows if we really were to go into all the scientific studies. But I do want to remind our listeners that they can get in touch through Facebook, The Natural Nurse, or naturalnurse.com or drznaturally.com if they'd like to find out more about Phytodyne, that's Phytodyne, and Amphoteric, Amphoteric, or just, you know, remind us about, you know, what you listened about, all the herbs that are highly anti-inflammatory. And you can also find out more about all of those in our book, Arthritis, the Alternative Medicine Definitive Guide, right on either any bookstore, Amazon.com, look at it on our websites, and get in touch if you have more questions. So, Dr. Z, it was such a pleasure for us both to be on together. We haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah, I really enjoyed presenting this information with you and kind of like discussing it so that everyone can understand these highly complex things. And the take-home message is that you don't have to suffer with pain there and get all the side effects of the classic medication, that there are options that people can have, naturopathic options, holistic options for. And of course, you know, none of these herbal formulas, again, replaces good naturopathic diet like we talk about in our book, hydrotherapy, mind-body work with stress reduction, and all the other facets that we discuss in the book. It has to be an integrated approach. And when people get ill, it's the body-mind telling them that they need to do something different with their life and lifestyle. And it's extremely important to use our book or a practitioner or whatever as a guide, as a coach. We're like a health coach, Dr. Kamai, to coach people through optimum wellness and to make those choices. If you don't know how to cook proper foods or cook with turmeric, well, you can take a class or follow one of the recipes in our book. Certainly, this network here is just a source of wellness information for people trying to make these healthy lifestyle changes. I'm so glad to be here with you, Dr. Kamai, on this network.
Me too, Dr. Zay. And until next time, we are wishing our listeners to
stay healthy.
Stay healthy.